Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are... This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun. Gotta give him the credit, he's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes. Let them take you away unless you're driving. Keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.
Hey. Not in a creepy way.
Hey. Welcome. This is Eric.
This is brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight we're going to talk about the 2001 movie. No, it's not 2001. 2009, 2012. What year was
it?
2011.
Okay, 2011. It was Fast and Furious 2001. Must have been.
Yes. The Fast and the Furious was 2001.
Okay.
Fast and Furious was 2009.
Oh, okay. What was Fast and Furious?
That's the fourth one.
Oh.
Because that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm sorry, it's Fast Five, 2011, directed by Justin Lin. And Drew, this is your pick. So, take it away. You're excited about this movie.
I love this movie. This is, it's the second part of our Cliptember series of heist movies, which I am just now starting to realize that even though we're recording them in September, they won't all be released in September.
No, they won't. Although I can maybe shake it up a little bit.
That's a hallmark.
That's fine. Like most things on the podcast, it's only for us. So it's fine. Well, just like next month is, what are we calling it? Oh, Clocktober, time travel movies. Again, we'll be recording it in October.
Although that we can use the time travel element of it.
Ah, very good.
You've already thought about this. I love it.
Yeah.
So Fast Five is, I think, a really fun heist movie. It has all of the elements, you know, getting a team together, making a plan, doing something incredible. And on top of that, it is this ridiculous, bonkers Frankenstein of a movie, which I think in a really fun way, it both takes itself way too seriously and doesn't take anything seriously at all. You have The Rock showing up in the series for the first time, which is it's weird,
but not out of place.
No. But his character over the course of the next few movies is definitely different than other characters played by Dwayne Johnson.
Before we talk about the plot, can you give us the quick plots of all the other movies before this?
Sure.
Is that too much?
No. I can be super quick, too. The first movie is almost a note-by-note ripoff of Point Break.
Which I have never seen.
Okay, so that won't mean anything to you, but the Patrick Swayze role is played by Vin Diesel, playing Dominic Toretta, and Keanu Reeves is played by, that character is Johnny Utah, played by Paul Walker in the first movie, who plays Brian. Brian's a cop trying to take down some small-time criminals led by Dominic. They race cars. Blah, blah, they end up being bros at the end.
So... The criminal element is they race cars?
No, they use their awesome car racing abilities to stage thefts.
Okay. So they're legitimate criminals with a hobby.
Yes.
Okay.
The second movie, Vin Diesel didn't want to return for, so it was Paul Walker took the lead, which was a mistake. They brought in Tyrese Gibson to be his new partner.
Were they both cops?
No. No. At this point, they're both criminals because Brian let Dominic escape, so he's in trouble with the law.
And has Brian and Jordana Brewster always been an item, or did she pop up in a different movie after the first one?
No, much like Lori Petty in Point Break, Brian fell for her while he was investigating Dominic's crew.
Tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme.
Exactly. So in the second movie, Brian gets an offer from some federal agency to expunge his criminal record if he does one last job for them of taking down a drug lord something. That's about it. The third movie was a complete departure. It took place in Tokyo with a completely new set of characters, a kid, and that was all about drift racing. They eventually shoehorned this movie into the continuity of later movies, mostly because one of the characters from that movie, Han, just oozed charisma, so he became part of the crew. I think Fast Five was his first movie as part of Dominic's crew. So after that, the fourth movie, Fast and Furious, everybody's in hiding. When Dominic learns that his lady friend, Letty, had been killed, so he returns to investigate her murder and eventually cross paths with Brian again. They team up to take down the bad guy who was the crazy eyes bad guy from Miami Vice, John Ortiz.
Okay, hold on. And Letty is a woman who used to be a man before she was kidnapped and surgically altered?
I think that's part of later continuity.
Okay. Michelle Rodriguez is the actress who plays Letty.
So at the end of the fourth movie, Fast and Furious, Dominic lets himself get caught by the authorities because he's tired of running. And he gets sentenced to 25 years to life for all his various crimes. And at the end of the movie, Brian and Mia show up to break him out. And the movie ends there. So Fast Five picks up at that exact moment.
So this is the moment where you would have broken The Dark Knight in half.
Yes.
Like if this was a Christopher Nolan movie, Fast and the Furious 4 and Fast 5 would be all the same movie.
Yes. That's a good way of describing it. So, Jason, if you didn't know that Michelle Rodriguez was played Letty, did you not see the mid-credits scene?
Where she's still alive?
Yeah.
No, I watched to the end of the credits, unlike other people we may know from time to time. Upgrade.
Hey, I didn't. I read about it.
Yeah, so Fast Five, it is a, at this point, it's a complete tonal shift from the first movie, because the first movie, Toretto and his crew were this like petty, they were like stealing DVDs. By Fast Five, they're like these super, super criminals.
Yeah, and were they always based in Brazil?
No, they were based in like, oh, some California somewhere.
Okay, yeah. So the fact that they've got Mi Familia all over Brazil is just a whole. They just decided. Well, this Rio is a fantastic location to shoot in.
Oh yeah, this movie makes no sense. None. It makes absolutely no sense.
I mean, okay. So we're two thirds of the way through the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy, and we have seen Gotham by Gaslight, an actual animated Batman movie, and I think this is just as cartoony as any of those. Like, this is a cartoon.
Absolutely.
And wonderfully so. I mean, I don't mind it, actually. It's every piece of dialogue is exposition.
Mm-hmm. And when they try and be serious, it is laughable at best.
Oh yeah, well, and maybe exposition is even too soft a word. I mean, it's like they're walking onto an improv set scene where they say, "Well, as a doctor, I must say that blah blah blah," or, "Well, me and my love Mia, who is your sister, both believe." I mean,
yeah.
It's like it was translated into another language and then translated back.
Oh yeah, all the dialogue is like written by like a fourth grader.
Yeah, well, and the beauty of that is this probably made a shit ton of money internationally.
$650 yeah. million dollars total.
Yeah, because it's an action movie, which already plays well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, dubbing would be easy. In fact, the movie may have been filmed in another language and dubbed using like some sort of Google translation.
Yeah, so I think this is not a smart movie.
You don't say.
It's not a traditionally good movie, but I think it's a really fun movie, and it touches like all of the heist tropes, and I think interesting ways, and it's a great turn your brain off and enjoy it kind of movie.
Well, and you know, skipping to the end for me, my verdict is that I loved it because it was the beautiful, after a couple of movies we've done lately where they are very complicated plots. This one mm-hmm. is not. This one, it did not feel like work because, first of all, I think I had seen half of it already while I was editing a podcast. I think it was like on one of the movie channels because I remember the first set of car scenes, like his breakout and then the train scene.
But yeah, and what I do appreciate about these movies is for the most part, they're all practical effects.
Yeah, seem to be.
I mean, they're silly and they're ridiculous, but they look good. The movie looks great.
It does.
And everybody is committing to the extent of their abilities.
That's what I was going to say. As much as they are able, they are fully committed.
Yes. I love watching Paul Walker's face at every scene because he's like the only one who's like just so happy just to be there. Even when he's trying to be like all somber and like, do you remember your father? He still kind of has that like half grin on his face. He can't help himself. It's great.
Yeah. He just wants to get paid to jump in the car and drive fast.
Yeah.
A trait which would sadly lead to his death.
Yeah, and I'll just spoil something for you. The end of Furious 7 is really heartbreaking.
I'm sure.
Like it is genuinely an emotional moment to witness.
So, Brother Jay, let's bring you into the fold here. You had not seen this movie until a couple days ago.
That is correct.
And what did you think? You don't like fun, do you?
I have a hard time with movies like this because it's designed for the masses of people that have oatmeal for brains. So it's kind of teenager-driven car porn, tuner porn, kind of wannabe stunt porn. And so my problem with it is that I live next door to five of these clowns, so... The problem is that real life overlaps into this and feeds that. So that's the first thing that just irritates me like a seed in between my teeth. This movie was like a wannabe Bond movie. It had a nice setting and they had lots of stuff, but the plot was just... I would have rather had a root canal than sit through 2.5 hours of this.
Hold on. Just to
wait
be,
a second. I'm not done.
Okay, go ahead. All right.
The opening of the movie is ridiculous on its face, and the fact that they flip a bus over full of people, which could have killed any number of people. So at that point, I already don't like them. But then at the midpoint of the movie, where they have a point in the movie where they're going to race cars to win a movie about racing cars, they don't show the race. Are you serious?
Well, they had really? To cut something.
So the whole point of a fast and furious movie is not showing a car race.
No, they had to shoehorn in like 5 minutes of training montage where they drive around in a warehouse.
So my irritation only grew from that point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was actually a signal that at this point in the series, it's not about car races anymore. It is something else.
Yeah, and they're not even fetishizing the cars in this movie. I mean, the cars are pretty to look at, but it's not like they're spending a long, lingering time looking at them.
Which is a hallmark of the earlier movies.
Yeah. It was a Dodge Charger ad.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can only imagine that, yeah, the whole point of the original movies was to do that. Was to say, look at this subculture, and look at some fine cars.
Yep.
Now, do they have a Fast and Furious where they have those cars that bounce up and down? Like the Cholo?
That would be the first one.
Okay. How many tricked out, like, diesel tractors?
I don't remember any of those, but it's possible. In the first movie, there was, like, a huge rally.
Ah.
Like, everybody meets in the desert.
Son, I think we got a convoy.
Yeah, in one of the later movies, I think it's Furious 7, Hobbs, played by The Rock, is injured early in the movie and like gets his arm broken by the bad guy. And when he decides that he needs to get back into the fray towards the end of the movie, he removes his cast simply by flexing really hard.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Well, I mean, yeah, this is also a WWE movie.
Yeah, kind of.
Because when we get it, well, never mind. I'll wait till the plot.
There's a plot.
Small plot.
Little P.
Actually, that's the hero of Fast 9.
At one point, Brian and Toretto are hanging by handcuffs in front of the bad guy, right?
Yes.
And they just escape because Dominic decides he's finally going to just break the handcuffs, right?
Yes. Yes.
That's the kind of movie this is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, if you're in, if that's what you expect to get, I think you'll be pleased. Like mm-hmm. I thought it was fine. Turn your brain. And this is, I mean, not in a letter grade like we would give, but in a classic sense, this is a B movie. I mean, this is a movie, a double feature. This is a movie that comes for free.
Also in this movie, The Rock loses a fight to Vin Diesel, who is like 3 feet shorter than he is in real life.
Yes, yes. Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. And I'm sure that was a contractual issue. And I think, I don't know if this was just Hollywood hype, but do they not like each other in real life?
That appears to be the case.
Yeah. Now, I have not seen the series yet, but did you guys like the movie Get Shorty?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So did I. And did you see the movie Be Cool?
Yes.
No.
Okay. The Rock was in Be Cool as Cowboy Roy, a singer. Going to point that out. Just fun.
Mm-hmm.
Stunt casting by a professional athlete, much like Burt Reynolds.
It's probably all the homoerotic tension between the two that causes them not to like each other.
Probably.
Because secretly they just want to hump it out.
No, I think it's a Chuck Norris, David Carradine situation. Lone Wolf McQuaid contracts where neither can win in a fight. Although apparently that's not the case. Because, yeah, anyway. Shall we get on to the plot?
Yeah.
So, as we discussed, picking up immediately where the previous film, Fast and Furious, left off, Dominic Dom Toretto, played by Vin Diesel, is being transported to Lompoc Prison by bus. His sister Mia, Jordana Brewster. By the way, I was trying to figure out where I had really seen Jordana Brewster before. Because I knew the name, and I thought she was pretty. Sort of. But the only movie I could think of that actually she was in the movie Debs, which was sort of a teenage lesbian James Bond romp. That can't be where she was famous from. I think she was in that 60s miniseries. But, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so Mia
is... Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, like the reboot or the new generation or something.
Is that the one with Matthew McConaughey?
No, that Matthew McConaughey and Bridget Jones. What is her name? Renee Zellweger. We're in like 3 or something. Children of the Chainsaw something. Anyway, I think I saw the Texas Chainsaw One with Jordana Brewster in the theater, maybe, with Jason got us into for free. Hmm. No? Maybe?
Which one?
The one that Jordana Brewster's in, or was that too late?
2006? Oh, that would have been way too late.
No, no. Okay, well, never mind. Digression complete. So, Sister Mia's boyfriend is Paul O'Connor. Brian O'Connor, Paul Walker. And they lead an assault on the bus, causing it to crash, which would have killed everyone on board. But
yes.
The news crew does say no one at all was injured, which was handy. And then they escape.
Yeah, because physics don't apply in these movies.
No, not at all.
Physics, the principles of inertia and gravity don't have any bearing at all. Science is
bearing.
Just not.
Well, hey, today, this weekend, I lubed my garage door. Speaking of bearings, makes a tremendous difference.
Did you use butter flavored Pam?
I use lithium spray lithium grease.
Ah,
because nice. WD-40 is bad.
Yes,
collects dust.
It does.
Blah blah blah. Then we end up in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, which they made the most of their helicopter rental. Going back and forth across the Christ the Redeemer statue. It is a valuable landmark, but I don't know. Do you have to show it 9 times in the movie?
You might as well.
Yeah, I guess.
You got to remind people where you are.
Yeah. The huge, like dome area. What's it called? What's the beach called? Ipanema Beach? The whole thing is iconic. Plus, I saw that vista probably 100 times watching the animated movie Rio, which was my daughter's favorite movie when she was young. So everybody goes to Rio, and they join their friend Vince, played by Matt Schultz. And apparently he's in that first movie. And is he a good guy or a bad guy? I could never figure that one out.
He's a bad guy. He was the one who was always like, Dom, you can't trust this new kid.
Ah, okay. They take one job to steal some cars from a train. And when they board the train, they discover the train is carrying DEA agents and the cars are seized property. Now, what jurisdiction the DEA has outside of the United States is very curious. Also, what agency does The Rock work for later? Like the diplomatic service or something, which also does not seem to, like if they're running around with tanks and guns or MRAPs and guns or whatever. Yeah. That seems like that we shouldn't fly.
It's the diplomatic security service.
Oh, okay. Yes. But we're going to forget that because this again is a cartoon movie. It's fine. So they do this Mad Max kind of, train robbery, which is kind of fun. Also, where lots of bullets are fired, but they never hit anybody. They never kill anybody.
Stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here, another tangent. At Costco, there is a Halloween costume for sale of a stormtrooper, which I know, I'm old, and you're going to be tired of hearing it for the 100th time on the podcast, but I don't like that kids want to grow up to be stormtroopers. But especially, the costume was for Stormtrooper Executioner. Like, which I guess if you're going to go for it all the way. Like, if you're going to dress up like a Nazi, dress up like an SS officer. But still, I don't approve. I mean, I can see dressing up like Darth Vader.
Well, except at least Stormtroopers are fictitious. Nazi SS were not. So I think the distinction is that...
Yes. No, I agree. But still, yeah, I think they're...
One is an analog for the other.
Exactly. One was patterned right after the other. Okay, sorry. Swerving back into the correct lane of the movie. We have this very Mad Max...
Nicely done.
Thank you. We have this very Mad Max train robbery of these cars, which is very clever and has elements of peril. And they would have probably died jumping out of that car into the water or whatever.
They almost actually really derailed the train, too.
I can only imagine. But... I thought it was brilliant as they were jumping. Like, Paul Walker looks great jumping out of that car. Like, I don't know what kind of special effects they did. It looks almost like he's jumping on a surfboard.
Yeah, because hitting the water wouldn't kill them.
Paul Walker looks great everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, that's good because he's everywhere now.
Oh. Oh. Still too soon.
Yeah, yeah, sure. These are real people. Just think, the Walker family could be listening right now. Oh, unless Dougie's mother's maiden name was Walker. I don't think that's going to... Anyway, so... Hi, Dougie. So we have this train robbery. But they picked the wrong cars. The reason why the cars were wanted was because there's something special about the cars.
Oh, no.
The girl car, the one that Mia gets to drive, the Ford GT40, has a special chip in it. It's the, when you said before about this is like a James Bond movie, except with that, without a good plot, or without a good plot. Okay. This is exactly a James Bond movie with the exact same kind of plot. This is the hard drive full of all the agents, the undercover agents' names that happens periodically in the Bond universe. This is where all the money that is kept by crime lord Hernan Reyes, played by Joaquin de Almeida, who, by the way, is great and always is. And he maybe he always plays the same character, but I don't care. I know him from Our Brand is Crisis. And we all know him from, what is it?
Clear and Present Danger.
Clear and Present Danger, yes. Yeah.
And many other movies.
Oh, yeah. He's a go-to Hispanic bad guy. Anyway, that is ZZ is like one of the guys who wanted to steal the cars, that hired them to steal the cars, but it turns out he's Reyes's right-hand man.
And why is there a hard drive with all the locations of the safe houses?
Tell us.
There's no reason?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's what the DEA wanted. That's why they were involved, which is why it became an international incident. Yeah. But yeah.
Have you made any further progress on the TV show Terriers?
I have not, but I have to get back into it.
There's a tense scene between the two leads where they are under some time pressure, and one of them takes the time to do something unexpected, and the other one is yelling at him like, "Why are you doing this?" And I think about this a lot. All he says while he's doing it, he goes, "Reasons." And this is one of those.
Yeah,
one of those. Why does he?
You know,
reasons.
I think it was either the first or second episode. But one of the beauties of that series is that they actually have a conversation that talks about the little private investigator firm should have some sort of mascot, something that kind of like speaks to the tenaciousness which they can, and that's as far as that conversation goes, which makes me laugh.
So, by the way, Mr. Almeida,
yes,
was in the original Miami Vice.
Okay, sure.
I was super excited to see that one of his IMDb credits was Santa Barbara, but that's a different Santa Barbara series.
Oh, okay.
Blasphemy.
I was super excited. I was like, 2015. Yeah. He was in La Femme Nikita, the TV series.
Excellent.
I never saw it.
Me either.
It was okay.
Is that with PETA Wilson?
He was in Kingpin, the TV miniseries.
Not the same Kingpin we talked about.
No. He was in 24, by the way.
Yes, he was. I think that's how he made his bones, right? He was like a whole season bad guy, I think.
He was also in the TV series The Batman as Bane in 2004.
Is that an just animated a voice? Series?
Yeah, the voice. He was the voice.
Yeah. I think Doug Benson should always be the voice of Bane.
I'm sure some of you have been driven crazy by my Bane impression. I love to do Bane from Dark Knight Rises. Yeah.
Take control, Seattle. Take control of your sunglass-wearing hipsters. They need your help. They can't live outside of the shadows. I'm familiar with the shadows, you know why? Because I was born there, in the shadows.
All right, shut up about this Bane, just enough about the fucking shadows.
Oh, would you like to be in shadows? I could put you in a box. I could put you near a fox. I could feed you some lox. Or listen to Kesha's TikToks.
Oh, Bane, I didn't know that you had such a wide variety of references from Dr. Seuss to Kesha.
He was in the Saints Row video game. His IMDb credits are phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, he shows up a lot, but he is always a joy.
Yes, yes, he is. He's the same kind of character actor that makes me smile as like Giancarlo Giannini.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, he is a Portuguese.
Oh, there you go.
Son of two pharmacists and the sixth of eight kids.
Which would make him a good Brazilian crime lord. That's what they speak in Brazil. So, we learn there's a computer chip in the car. And they discover it contains the details of his criminal empire and the location of $100 million in cash. So because during this whole heist, the DEA agents were killed, the U.S. Diplomatic Security Service, DSS, sends in Luke Hobbs, Dwayne Johnson, who you think the Diplomatic Security Service would be somewhat diplomatic. He is not. He is very disrespectful of the local government.
He's disrespectful of pretty much everybody.
Yeah, he is. Yes. He is the Iceman in this Top Gun universe. Just mm-hmm. angry for no reason at everybody.
Great facial hair, though.
He is like, yeah, he's 3.5 feet taller than Val Kilmer, too. Actually, he's just 3.5 feet taller than everybody. Guy is a monster. It's funny, when I was putting, getting the characters' names and the actor names together in my little notes, I realized that we have, except for Mr. Almeida and, is that maybe it? There may be some one other actor, but none of these, Michelle Rodriguez, none of these other actors have been in movies we have talked about.
There's more than 6 degrees of separation?
There's not 6 degrees of separation, but like we have talked about almost 300 movies. And this is our first Vin Diesel movie, our first Jordana Brewster movie, our first Dwayne The Rock Johnson movie. Our first Gal Gadot movie, our first Ludacris movie. It's amazing. Again, side note. Blah, blah, blah. So Luke comes in and is going to take down the team. By the way, apparently when you work for the DSS, you can shoot anybody. Just willy-nilly. Like, I didn't quite understand in the favela, where apparently everybody owns a gun, which is like, well, that's fine. It's cartoony. And apparently they're all Toretto's, maybe, or no Toretto's or something. Like, they're Dom's familia or something. Or are they just, I mean...
Oh, yeah. So, since you don't have the history of the Fast and Five universe, Dom's familia are just really the people who are close to him.
Okay.
All
right.
He's all about the familia.
So he just made friends in the favela, and now he's, or maybe that's where Vince lives.
Yeah, that's where Vince's family live. The whole stuff with Vince is hilarious too. He's like, you've betrayed us. Leave. I think, aren't they in Vince's place?
Exactly. I was waiting for him to say, "This is my house, bitch. All these people with guns are my friends." Like. Sadly.
And then later, Vince just shows up, and Dom's all like, there's always a place for you at the table.
yeah, exactly. Well, that's why I was asking if he was a good guy or a bad guy in the beginning, because it seems like he is the guy that will betray them, like in a Shakespearean fashion, and yet he's not really, right? So,
who knows?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It's all just action scenes now. Basically, the...
Oh, by the way, Mia's pregnant.
Yes, sorry, Mia's pregnant. Oh, and of course, Luke Hobbs, who's Dwayne Johnson, he requests the assistance of a rookie police officer as a translator. And she is played by Elsa Pataky, who I don't know from anywhere, but she did a fine job.
I'm assuming she's a better actress in her native language.
Maybe. But again, she was just there to be a symbol. And everybody was playing, again, these aren't just like heist movie figures. They are Shakespearean. It's just like, or maybe even pre-Shakespearean. Maybe these are like Homerian or whatever. Who's the ancient Greek father of theater or whatever?
You just equated this to Shakespeare and Homer.
No, I did, because these are all just classic themes. There is one who will betray them. There are lovers that are star-crossed. There are family relationships and tension. It's all just one big story. It's Joseph Campbell's seven different plots or something.
So you're saying it's all archetype with no depth.
Yeah. Just fine. Again, it's a cartoon.
Yeah. So at this point, the main bad guy wants to kill Dom and his crew. Hobbs wants to capture Dom and his crew. And the only solution that Dominic and Brian can come up with is they're going to steal all the money so that they can escape to a non-extradition country.
Yes. Which, you see, this is movie number five in a series that could last potentially forever. And it seems like they're going to more and more obscure. Like, if they have to go to Uruguay after they steal all this money, or you know, it's like, I guess, what, Monaco, right? One of those. It's like, pretty soon they can never come back to America or any place else. I mean, they're gonna be living in a tent someplace, but with a really nice car, I guess. Or maybe I just have I don't have as much knowledge about non-extradition countries as I should. Maybe there's just a tons of them.
Or maybe something will happen to bring them back to the States.
For one last job. I thought I was out of it. He pulled me back in. Anyway. Yeah, so blah, blah, blah. We have to put together a team. Again, it's great. You put together a team. You have training montages. Everybody's got a specialty.
Mm-hmm.
It's good that all these people have all this wealth independently just to be able to drop everything at the moment's notice and go to Rio and have all this equipment sent, including an actual gigantic duplicate safe.
Yeah, which you think would cost quite a bit of money.
You would think someone would also notice such a thing. But
well, this they could beam in on you from satellites to find like a 72 Chevelle or whatever they're driving.
Hey, when when Dominic Toretto sends up the bat signal and calls me familia, you show up.
Exactly. Yeah, and you show up with your go bag.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's great. So this is chronologically before Tokyo Drift or after Tokyo Drift?
Before.
Okay. All right.
Because I assume it's okay if I spoil stuff, but Han dies in Tokyo Drift.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. So it was very confusing to people when he showed up in this movie playing Han.
Who does... Now, has Han been in other stuff? I know we have not seen him in stuff, but... let's see. Sun Kang? Anyway. Was he
Better
also
Luck
in...
Tomorrow?
Okay, no.
Okay, nope.
Three Extremes.
Live Free or Die Hard.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, so blah, blah, blah. We have the heist going on. We've got the police station breakout. There's some funny remote control car scenes in there. We got Ludacris cracking wise. We got Tyrese. Everybody's got good one-liners.
And this is the first movie where, like, everybody gets together.
Oh, okay, cool.
So this was like a blind faith kind of super band.
There you go. Oh, I just rediscovered some blind faith. I've been watching Access TV's classic albums, classic records, where they take one album, or in the case of Rush, two albums, and they do interviews and talking head interviews where they talk about the making of it.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's actually It's not as bad as you think it might be. The one on Judas Priest's British Steel was actually pretty great. Even though they had to, they interviewed Rob Halford separate from everybody else, they still had kind words to say about each other.
So, Sung Kang?
Yes.
Was in Mystery Men.
Oh, who'd he play?
I'm looking.
Now, don't mean to put you on the spot.
Asian henchman number one?
I was going to say, yes, he was. Oh, no, was he in the big line of people that auditioned?
Tom Waits was in Mystery Man?
Seems about right.
That sounds right, yeah.
He played Susie. But there's also four Susies, so I don't know. I don't remember that movie.
Yeah. The Blue Raja.
That's a great movie. I love Mystery Man.
I just remember watching, loving William H. Macy, the best.
The spleen. That I would watch that movie again over this one, that's for sure.
We should put it on the list. I got it. I own it.
I think it's on the list somewhere.
It probably is. So.
So, Jason, I'm sensing that when I put the rest of these movies on the calendar, you want those to be on weeks where you do not attend?
Well, I would opt for that as my preference. However, Boyfriend Jesse loves these movies, so that...
Yeah, well, so tell me about Boyfriend Jesse's reaction, and did he try to sway you?
Oh, he's smart enough to not try to sway me. He's with me long enough at this point to know better. He says this is a great movie.
Sure, why not?
It is a great movie.
I mean, I think we can probably yada yada the rest of it. I mean, because there's no real...
There's no plot.
Well, there's no real...
nothing to yada yada.
Nobody dies, right?
Well, that's not true.
Who do we lose in? Vince dies?
Yeah. He gets shot. He bleeds out in the Humvee.
Yeah, he's all like, take care of Nico.
Oh, I'm sorry, Vince. Okay, I'm...
You know, named him after you.
And the villain. The villain is killed at the end because The Rock kills him.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So Vince. I'm sorry. I got confused. I thought Rock's name was Vince, but he's Luke, right? So, yes. Okay, yeah. So Vince was already.
And anybody within 5 feet of the safe.
Yeah.
Exactly. Who's careening. They're all dead.
So the safe was great, by the way. I love the safe scene. Okay. How they did the heist when they gave the final reveal, the prestige, if you will. was sort of goofy, but it was fun. I mean, it made no sense, but it was fun.
Yes. The creativity to just have them dragging around a safe with two muscle cars.
Yeah.
It's great. It's something you've never seen before.
Exactly. Which is what you want. I mean, eventually there'll be a Fast and Furious in space, right?
I don't know. I haven't seen the most recent one, but I am aware that there is a scene that is car versus submarine.
Yes. Yes. I've heard about that.
So I'm very excited to watch that one.
Yeah. Well, was one of the Fast and Furious movies one where they have to jump out of a plane or something? And the critics suggested it was the longest runway ever because it took like 5 minutes.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying.
No, it was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, I mean, in the age of really great video games, this is a great movie for, you know, if you're a fan of, like, Grand Theft Auto or one of those kind of video games, right?
Yeah.
I play Grand Theft Auto.
Okay, they don't kill any hookers in this movie, so I know you're not a fan of that part of it, but... maybe I'm thinking of some of those like driver or police chase. What are the other video games where you run from the police?
I don't know. I'm sure there are.
I mean, I know in the video game, in the plot, in that section of the book you never read, because all you want to do is figure out what ABAB back, forth, up, down does. You're an undercover cop running from the cops. So it's okay morally.
Yeah, I don't think they have to do that anymore.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose Grand Theft Auto probably cured everybody of that. Yeah, so, Brother Jay, you definitely thought it was an F movie for real? Were you not swayed by our discussion tonight?
As sterling as the conversation and input that you both provide in exemplary form as usual. No, I'm not swayed.
So, Brother Drew, final thoughts, final pitches, final words? I assume it was worth it. It's always worth it.
This movie is worth it. I mean, these movies, the first few were like guilty pleasures for me. And the second one in particular is terrible. You can skip that one. But you know, by the time they make it to Fast Five, these movies are a completely different thing. And they are bonkers and they are ridiculous. But they are a lot of fun. And you have so much, at this point, you have so much history with the characters that they really take a lot of shorthand. I was wondering how you guys were going to react without having a history of all the characters. Because they don't spend a whole lot of time on it to introduce you and get you up to speed. Also, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, not say, necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the Fast Five, Fast and Furious 6, and Furious 7, they are a different type of movie. They're just crazy, ridiculous action movies. I think they're like good versions of what the Expendables movies try and be. They're no longer guilty pleasures for me. I am not ashamed to admit that I enjoy these movies. And this is one of those times, Jason, where I don't disagree with anything you say, but but you're sort of describing why I think the movie is fun. You can completely turn your brain off and enjoy it. You can be doing other stuff while the movie's on, and it won't affect your viewing experience at all.
That's my difficulty, is I can't turn my brain off. It's because I want there to be something there, and there isn't. It's empty calories.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are. And these movies really grind to a halt when they try and be serious and emotional, because it does not work.
But it's not a Snickers. It's like a generic candy bar. So it not only doesn't taste right, it's not satisfying.
Oh, no, there's nothing generic about these movies.
This is a Snickers, for sure. It's not any better than a Snickers, but it is a Snickers. This is a solid Snickers. Yeah.
So, well, thank you for putting up with me. I'm glad we decided to do some heist movies so I could shoehorn this one onto the calendar.
Oh, I'm going to put Repo the Genetic Opera on the list, and then your punishment will be complete.
Oh, I've seen it.
Oh.
So, are we done with Fast Five?
Have we heard your final thoughts?
Oh, that was great. It was completely forgettable. But this was the same feeling I get about maybe an episode of Scorpion. It's fine. Fun. I guess now I'm more invested in the characters in Scorpion because I watched it for like 4 months, couple episodes every week at our parents' house. But it's like you figure there's going to be lots of cars and crazy stunts and, you know, the stakes aren't going to be too high.
Yeah, I disagree. I don't think it is forgettable. I think you will always remember the bank. Maybe you'll find the plot forgettable, but that part doesn't matter anyway.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I thought it was perfectly acceptable. I mean, I thought that was a perfectly good B movie. If I were to give it a letter grade, I'd say it was even a B movie.
Nice.
Yeah. So, housekeeping. I was trying to find those notes, like on GarageBand or something, so we can make a little housekeeping intro sting or whatever. But I couldn't find the proper three-note combination.
Well, we can work on that, I'm sure.
Yeah. What you got?
I will say thank you for editing that music episode. I thought that was fun.
Wait, hold on. What is going on? Hold on.
Over here we have the arena with 7 case of daddies. Over here we have the arena with 7
case of daddies. It's like a talking Tina doll.
Hey, I was also really jealous that that Eric released that episode early because I was camping that weekend, so I didn't get it until I got back on Sunday anyway. But that would have been a joy.
Oh,
to get it early.
It's like something went on to the Bluetooth speaker in my bathroom.
Wow. Yeah, that sometimes
that's
it
not
happens.
Creepy at all.
It's I'm talking Tina.
Exactly. That's exactly what it sounded like too. It's like some sort of children's thing.
That's what I'm saying. It sounded like it freaked me out from here. So I will second Drew's kudos to you for editing the music episode.
How'd it come out? What do you think about it?
Oh, it was awesome. It was so good. I actually listened to it 3 times.
Well, it's so fun because it's like a supercut of all the awesome moments from a bunch of songs.
Well,
I don't have the words.
I was worried like about 6 different things. I don't know if we'll put this in the pod or not, but I was concerned.
You have no reason to be worried about any of it, by the way.
Here were my concerns. What is going on with that speaker? See, that's another reason I need to get a new speaker. And an Amazon Echo is cheaper than a Sonos One or whatever. You know, I don't know. Anyway, I need something I can plug in because I don't want something that runs on batteries because it's going to be in my bathroom. That's all I want. I don't know what's... I got to go turn that off. That's freaking me out.
Somewhere somebody's trying to watch something with no audio.
Yeah, that's... I have one in my shower. It's actually pretty big. It's waterproof and dustproof. It's like class 2, so it's super rugged, and since I don't use it that often except when I'm in the shower, the charge lasts for months at a time. But if you're using it sustained, it'll last for like 15-16 hours. So
that's pretty good.
So I have one upstairs that was like $5 at Target that is completely battery powered. It's not rechargeable. It's like you put batteries in it. And it doesn't. It's not Bluetooth. You just plug it in. It's just a portable speaker that has batteries. That was fine. But anyway.
So
the music 6 things you were worried about.
Yeah.
Oh, just I was concerned because it took like 15 minutes to get to the first song, but I think we needed that to explain like what you guys were talking about. The other thing I was concerned about, first Jason song, the NF song, I think. Oh Lord, is that NF?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I added the beginning of that song. No. That was the beginning. I believe it was Drew's first song that I added the beginning of the song, and then we skipped to the point in the song. And then on later songs, I just basically opened up the time frame, so you got kind of a sense of where the song was going, and then because a lot of it was all crescendo based.
Yeah.
I dug the whole thing because you guys had such an eclectic pick, except for, as John Paul mentioned, 3 Oasis songs.
Couldn't be helped.
Well, exactly. And there's so many things that I like that don't necessarily give me the tingles, but I just like that a lot of those songs reminded me of. So it was a joy for me to edit. It took a long time, mostly because I was just kind of getting into it.
Well, wait till volume 2.
I can't. Volume 2 is great. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I think I told you, or maybe I didn't, but while I was editing it, I was furiously trying to find something like on Access or one of the other channels that has music on it, like watch some sort of concert video or something. And I ended up, because they had some like Left Nut festival or something with a bunch of country artists that I lasted about 3 songs on, including Kiefer Sutherland was going to be next on the new festivals. Kiefer Sutherland. Like, no, stop. So I ended up watching This Might Get Loud on Netflix, which is the Edge and Jack White and Jimmy Page sitting around talking about guitars. Have you seen it?
Yeah, that one's a few years old, right?
Yeah. It's both interesting and me at the same time. Like, I don't like Jack White.
You don't?
But I think he's interesting as a musician. And I didn't realize how... Like, all the criticism that The Edge gets being a guitarist, he's kind of a one-trick pony as far as a lot of the U2 songs sound kind of the same. except that I love the fact that it's all electronics. Like there's one part where he plays the actual like notes that he's playing on the guitar without any electronics, and he's just laughing at how simple the whole thing was. He's like, yeah, but when I run through six pedals, it sounds like this. And then it's like this iconic U2 sound. It sounds gigantic and big. So it's worth it. And then watching Jack White make a diddly bow out of a piece of wood and a nail, and, you know, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, he's a weirdo.
Jimmy Page is like, on one hand, he's like a legendary guitarist. And the other hand, he's just like a grandpa. Which is why, these interviews from the Classic Records or whatever the series is on Access that I recorded, it's interesting to see, like, they did one on Deep Purple's, Machine Head, I think that's what it's called. One with Smoke on the Water. And Ritchie Blackmore just seems like kind of a tool, but these guys, and of course, this is all like 40 years old. So it's interesting to see these guys, like, again, Rob Halford kind of had an acrimonious breakup with Judas Priest. I think we learned that in Rockstar.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see like Glenn Tipton and KK Downing or whatever. Cause other than the music and watching the videos, I didn't know anything about, I never heard interviews at the time because it was pre-internet. And it's very interesting. Glenn is the main driver behind that duo. KK is just a whammy bar guy. And I think that's still what their relationship is. Glenn's like, here, let me show you how this is. And then KK will come in and do the double down part where we both play the same things at the same time. And he just follows along and does what he's told. It's kind of hilarious. Although I think they call him Kevin or whatever his real name is. Seems appropriate. But yeah, but like, again, makes me think about Blind Faith and all the music talk. Like when you guys were talking about the Eric Clapton's 24 Nights and I thought the Pavarotti thing was amazing. It didn't give me the tingles and it's not even my kind of music necessarily, but I thought it was just so far out of left field that it was great. Like that's the kind of stuff I like to, where I can learn something. Kind of like when you guys did the George Michael thing. Like, that was fascinating because I didn't know anything. You guys were very passionate, so. Yeah, anyway, I have thoughts on Volume 2, but we got to put that in the calendar. And I called people out by name on Facebook, but I hadn't, except for Dougie, I haven't heard anything. So we'll see. We'll put another call out.
I've been bugging people too, but everybody's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm like, come on. Boyfriend Jesse, I'm like, come on, just give me a couple. I mean, I knew you experienced it because you and I talk about it all the time.
Yeah. Well, but people, you know, I was thinking about this too today that I think the fact that we have the ability to listen to all the music makes it all worth a little bit less. Like it was a big deal. Like, okay. So, you know, if I bought like a Judas Priest album and, you know, there was nothing else to do, but read the liner notes as the music was playing or whatever. And so you got to know who the producers were and then you recognize their names from other things. And you kind of, you know, with the Harmony Encyclopedia of Music, you can look and see other, you know, when the band members broke up and formed other bands, and then you went to the record store and you found, Bogart, Beck, and Apici, I think is how you pronounce his last name, was my introduction to Carmine. Well, his brother Vinny plays for some well-known band. I can't think of it at the moment. And all those connections. And so when you found, like, if you found six different versions, even like when... I think this was what the Napster was best at its best, was you could find that bootleg version or that version that only played on like Australian radio of a U2 cover of some other song.
Yes.
That was fantastic.
Yes.
But now that all that, like potentially everything is available for streaming everywhere, it's just too overwhelming. You know, it's like when you only had, 100 record albums. That was a lot, but it was limited. Like, you had to listen to stuff over and over again. But you, if you turn on Pandora or whatever, theoretically, you don't have to listen to things twice ever, right? Theoretically?
Pandora will repeat.
Well, I think Jason mentioned it during that episode, is there's no reason to listen to an album anymore.
Yeah, which is a like, it plays on all my worst instincts, because my instinct, even when I had albums, even when I made mixtapes or just put an album on a cassette tape, is I would listen to those first four Nirvana songs until I just wore that part of the tape down, and then I would listen to the last seven Nirvana songs, and in that period, I had, like, I rediscovered all the joys or whatever, but all those, like, what you consider B songs, you got to listen to because you didn't have a choice.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, you within the land of physical CDs, you lose the track within a track.
Well, exactly, yeah.
You know, all those subtle, funny Easter eggs that get dropped in.
Or so, just songs that transition from one to the other.
And that's my point about the Poe album.
Yeah.
Or a Beatles album. Or, I mean, I can name many examples where songs on their own have a certain gravity, but when you listen to an album, if you listen to Abbey Road from start to finish, it will assault your mind on a different dimension. If you listen to songs individually, Here Comes the Sun, it's a great song, but when you listen to it in context, it's an even greater song. So that art is being lost, but also I think some of that is no longer. I think also people don't produce albums anymore anyway. They're only producing a single or two. And eventually they get a CD to release or an album to release or whatever they're calling it, whatever vernacular you want to use. But it's no longer something from start to finish anymore. It's just piecemeal.
And I don't know how new bands do it. I literally don't. I mean, was it the Abbott Brothers, who seem to be very popular with my Facebook friends. I mean, they're touring, right? And theoretically they sell albums, but they, you know, they appear on the TV shows that still have music on them, which are becoming fewer and further between, right? Or maybe we just don't, there's more of them, but we don't, collectively, you don't have to watch any of them. I don't know. Music is in a weird place.
Yeah.
Glad I don't have to rely on it for my income.
It's following in the footsteps of newspapers.
Yeah, and the whole concept of an album.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like British Steel or whatever, they had a dozen songs, and they had to pick the order that would be best for an LP, where you had to flip it over. So you had a beginning song that had to get your attention, and you had to have a song at the end that would kind of keep your attention. And then the second side had to get your attention again. And especially if you had, you know, even a cassette or an 8-track or whatever, that last song on the album either was like a big, big song or maybe something that would dovetail back to the first song, ideally.
Also, it had to fit.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you had a 12-minute song, that was one side of an LP.
Yeah. Physical limitation.
Yeah. Which turns out makes you more creative, maybe?
Yeah. Like
putting boundaries on something forces you to work within that space?
Possibly, but I mean...
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. The media is definitely shifting. It's definitely a changing landscape. And new listeners listen differently and have different habits. And so some of the art is being lost. People aren't hearing the same things because they don't listen like I do. Some don't listen like I do. I'm sure John Paul listens like I do, but people listening with earbuds don't hear the same things. If I sit with these headphones, I have studio monitors, and I listen to something, I can hear things that I don't hear on my earbuds. Yeah. So the iPod generation and the MP3 player generation, they're hearing things, but they're not necessarily hearing all the things.
That was the other thing, is that I don't know whether this detracted from the ASMR experience of it, but, you know, I did not make it a stereo podcast. It's a mono podcast. So
no, didn't diminish it for me. when I listened back, I still had the reactions.
Yeah. So, part of my defense in court, Your Honor, would be fair use, because we're discussing these songs critically. But also, I'm not giving away your art. I am making a vastly inferior copy of it, changing it into mono and giving you part of it instead of giving you... Although I did play one whole song, actually.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I mean...
Which was that?
Was it the Tracy Chapman Proper Riot song, maybe?
Yep. Mm. Yep.
Yeah. Well, you also played the vast majority of Wonderful Tonight.
No, I didn't. I did. I just played the last 4 minutes of it.
Wow.
The first 6 minutes, all the actual song part of it was left on the cutting room floor.
Well, you played the final verse. Final couple lines.
Yeah, probably. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is actually a very pleasant way to end the podcast.
It was. It was. Yeah, it kind of let you down easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. No, you guys did all the hard work. That was amazing. And it was obvious you guys thought a lot about the music and listened to each other's selections. And that was, I was impressed by that too.
Well, I had to. I mean, I had to. There was no way not to.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was exciting because I got exposed to, you know, it's always nice to hear different musical points of view. But know that we also have the shared experience. Cause that's kind of like a movie all three of us agree on. We all like, or all hate, as the case may be. You know, it's nice to have commonality, but also it's beyond us because there's other people that experience this. So.
So another weird tangent that, so today I turned on Access TV and there was, no, it wasn't that. I was stuck in a hole, a music hole. I can't remember how I get there, but God knows. It was, I watched Kid Rock at a Woodstock 99 do, Bow with a Bow, whatever that song is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And okay. I don't like Kid Rock. I mean, he has a fine voice, like in that, what was the odd song you played on SNL or something? Or an acoustic version of like Only Me.
Only God Knows Why.
Only God Knows Why. Yeah. Yeah. So he's got a fine voice when he sings straight mm-hmm. up. I'm not really into the rock rap kind of thing, but, you know, it's a catchy song, but the drummer she's a beast. It was great. The guitarist was fantastic. The DJ, he had a DJ or hype man or whatever you call him. Maybe I'm old, but I thought about the first, how many of you motherfuckers are having a motherfucking good time? Like, okay, calm down. And then, you know, when Kid Rock comes out in the white fur coat and then strips down to his, red Detroit Tigers tracksuit with sneakers and stuff, and then whips his hair around, back when he had hair, as if he was the lead singer for Living Color. It's all kind of silly, and yet it was fun to watch again, because like I said, this the guitars and the drummers were fucking, they were on point. So there's something to like about a lot of stuff. Sorry, that Bluetooth speaker thing is still freaking me out.
You know, Tina.
Are you familiar with the, what is it, like Time Out Tina or something doll you can buy at the state fairs? It's like a life-size child doll that doesn't have a face because it's meant to be put in a corner as if they're in Time Out. It sounds like the creepiest thing ever.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay. Well.
So it's a doll without a face that you're supposed to face away from you in a corner?
Yep.
No.
Yeah.
That's a big no.
Well, I guess that's what you guys are all getting for Christmas.
That's a...
yeah, it's the worst. I don't want a representation of a child in the corner in Time Out. That would make me sad every time I saw it.
I just think of the Twilight episode where the little kid can make people lose their faces.
His sister wipes out of the mouth.
I'm like, I don't have a face.
Wasn't that also a Star Trek episode?
Possibly.
Oh, God, maybe. Oh, yes, yes, with the little boy god, right? Not boy god, the teen god.
Charlie.
Charlie, yes. Yes.
Oh, God.
Okay, so another memory I just had. I've just got to capture memories at this point, just like pieces of songs that give me tingles. I remember they had Star Trek photo novels where you, it's like,
yes,
kind of like a graphic novel, but with photographs, you know, and the talk bubbles that would, whatever. And, for the longest time, I thought the episode was called, Taste of a Margadon. Because I didn't know how to pronounce Armageddon.
Oh, that's like reading comic books and always wondering what melancholy meant.
Oh, yes. If you're feeling melancholy.
Yes.
That's a little
everybody,
sad.
Everybody from time to time was feeling melancholy. I was like,
oh. What's the Ray Romano thing?
I should look that up.
Stomachache for stomachache. Anyway, so do you have any other housekeeping for the pod, or
have I told you the Donatus story?
No.
So in the days of payroll, when we had the stores could enter new employees, and they would forget that they were training in production, and they would add Mickey Mouse.
Oh, of course.
Stupid shit like that when they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
I would have to go through and I would have to, we can't, as a rule, I never deleted anything out of the payroll system ever,
exactly.
ever. We never deleted anything ever. But my boss came back to my desk one day and was like, we have this weird family of people working for us. Do you know these people, Donatus? Donatus? And I say, you mean do not use?
I love it.
Turned 180 degrees and walked away from my desk.
By the way, I still want to hear what Jason thought about Gotham by Gaslight.
Oh, yeah. So.
Oh, for fuck's sake. What the fuck? Who? First of all. When I started watching it, I thought, well, this surely had been made like 30 years ago. But oh no, it was made like last year.
Yeah.
What? Okay. Somebody needs a savage beating with a mace. And then rolled in rock salt and lemon juice and then poured down a cliff with ants, bees, and honey. The fact that you ended by making Gordon the villain? Fuck you. Sideways.
Like, that is pretty much exactly what my problem with it.
Yep.
Like, what? Why does this? Why did this?
Not only is he Jack the Ripper, but he's a wife beater,
abuser. Like, yeah. Not even just beater. Like.
Poured acid on her.
He disfigured her.
I couldn't. At first, I was just like, the first third of it, I was like, this is, what the fuck? I don't even understand why this is a thing. Why? They're going to take this back to Victoria. And also, why half of them had English accents and half of them had American accents, ostensibly. Like, you couldn't commit to one or the other. You should have really gone one direction. So, was it set? It was set in Gotham, but was Gotham in the UK? Because it certainly seemed to be in the UK.
Sort
with the little street urchins and the dirigibles and I don't know, it's just God, what a flaming piece of shit. That's all.
Did you like it up until the ending, or you just hated the whole thing?
I didn't. So I thought it was okay. I kind of liked it for the first half of it, and then as it started to progress, I was kind of like. I don't know where this is going, and I don't think it's going anywhere good, and I was not disappointed in my synopsis that it was not going anywhere good. And then at the end of it, I lost it. I was like, I was just filled with nerd rage. I had no outlet, but I was so angry, so.
Oh, I had an outlet. I told Drew to watch it for that night's podcast.
Yeah, you haven't listened to that episode, right, Jason?
No, I'm gonna.
Yeah, you need to. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, so the night before we were gonna record Nightmare on Elm Street, Eric was like, "Have you seen this? Do you have time to watch this?" So I watched it the night before,
Well, Anne enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Did you?
Well, I wasn't thrilled about the ending, but
all right. Okay. I will make an effort to listen. So, but yeah,
you should. He had very valid points.
Okay.
But well, I still had that same reaction you did. I was so angry.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the Mission Impossible movie where they made him, they made, what's his face, the villain.
That's exactly what you said.
Jim Phelps.
Yes.
It's exactly the, yeah, okay, great. You don't need to listen to us talk about it. You're having all the emotions.
I'm like, okay, all right, whatever. All right, so, yeah. It was a thing. I mean, I guess I'm glad I watched it, question mark. I don't know. Jesse checked out after like 10 minutes.
Jesse didn't like it?
No. He was like, I don't know.
It was written for Jesse. Well, no, maybe not, but.
Yeah, no.
Because there's another one that where Bruce or Batman is a ninja, and I took that off my list because it was like I can't watch another Gotham by Gaslight.
So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast. We're gonna leave it right here.
Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast. We're gonna leave it right here.
One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you wanna catch an episode. They talk movies, they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's a brother Sanderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.
Hey. Not in a creepy way. 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 Okay. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you.